Amen. Glad you're saved tonight.
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate each and every one of you being in the house of the Lord tonight. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 9. If you would tonight, Luke chapter 9. I appreciate this opportunity to be here. I appreciate your pastor. Love him. Look at him as my pastor. And I have a great relationship with him. And I don't know how many years it's been, but I appreciate the opportunity him call us. And as he said, he never calls and says, I need a big theological message. He just calls and says, pray about this. So that's what we do, and that's what he does, and I pray you have too. And so I'm humbled to be here tonight. Appreciate my family being with us tonight, my wife, my two boys, and several from Round Hill being here. And we love you from the bottom of my heart. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're here. And whichever church you're here tonight representing tonight, we're here because of Jesus. And if you've come for another reason, I hope you find Jesus tonight. And he loves you, and he'll save you. If you're here tonight and you're lost, why, you're at a good place to get saved. And that's what you need tonight. You need salvation, and that's the best thing that could ever happen to you. And so I hope and pray tonight that if you're here and you're lost, that somewhere in this tonight or this week you see yourself lost and undone on your way to hell. And as the pastor said, these gravestones are proof we're leaving out of here. And I hope and pray you're ready to meet the Lord tonight. You pray for us this week. I don't come with anything. I do have something special. That's the Word of God. But I don't come with anything made up. I don't come with anything left over. I just fresh from the Lord. And whatever the Lord gives me, that's all I've got to give you. So I hope and pray tonight that we can be a blessing to you. Luke chapter number 9. We're going to start reading at verse number 57. Y'all pray for us tonight. I'll probably be short and sweet and to the point. But we're just going to give you what the Lord has given me. And I don't know any other way to preach and just give you what God's given me. Amen. Luke chapter 9. The Bible says in verse 57, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. The Bible says, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Thank the Lord for his word tonight. As you remain standing, ask one of our deacons, Brother Jamie Billings, if he would lead us in prayer tonight. Amen. Thank you, church, tonight. We see here some very, very simple but yet familiar verses of Scripture. And I want to say this, just because it may seem simple, may seem familiar, that don't mean that God don't have something great in it. So we see here some very great Scriptures tonight. How the Lord begins to talk to some men, and he begins to ask them to do some things that they found occasion with in their life, or they found some issues with, or trouble with, or however you want to say that in their life. He asked the first man in 57 for him, that simply, he said, to follow him. And that man said, Lord, I will follow thee wherever thou goest. But even with that commitment that that man made, and we're going somewhere with this tonight, so just hang on. Even with that commitment that that man made, the Lord knew that there were some things about that commitment that would not fit into his life. And the Lord told him, he said, listen, I don't have anywhere to lay my head. He said, the foxes, they have holes. The birds of the air, they have a nest. But the Son of Man, I don't have anywhere to lay down. I have nowhere to lay my head. So this commitment that God was asking from this man, the Lord even knew that it was a great commitment. And the Lord knew that he was asking a lot of this man to be so committed unto him. And so the Lord knew that this commitment that was required of this man would take a great faith. Because, see, a commitment, when you commit to the Lord, and you commit to the Lord, and you mean it with all of your heart, one of your greatest companions has to be faith.
Come on.
That commitment has to be mixed with faith, or else you will fail at that commitment for the Lord. Something is keeping you here. Something is keeping you going. Something has you excited. Something has you taken the next step. I hope and pray tonight it is the faith you have in Christ.
Amen.
Not the faith you have in Mark Hall, the faith you have in Calvary Church, but the faith you have in Jesus Christ. That is enough to compel you in your commitment to the Lord. And so the Lord speaks to the next man. And he tells him to follow him. And this man gives him excuse. He said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And so this commandment that the Lord gave him to follow him, it didn't fit into this man's life like the Lord warned it to. The Lord told him, he said, follow me. And the man began to give him excuse why he couldn't immediately follow him. I've got to go back to the house. Let me go first and bury my father. And so the Lord responds to him. He says, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. The Lord says, listen, I know you got to bury your father, but let the dead bury the dead. I need you to preach the gospel of Christ. But this commandment that the Lord was giving this man, he was having a hard time fitting into his life. This man was needing to go home to bury the dead, and Jesus was trying to fit preaching into his life. Was trying to fit telling the gospel into his life. Has the Lord ever came to you and showed you somebody that you say, well, I'm glad I'm not that man. Well, has the Lord ever came to you and showed you somebody to witness to, or somebody to talk to, or somebody to tell the gospel to, and you just didn't have time? You was just too busy, or you, well, let me go ahead and order my food, then I'll do that. Let me go ahead and mow my yard, or let me go ahead and fish for the day, or I got to put my boat up, and then I'll do all. You see, sometimes we just don't fit the call of God in our life. So the Lord talks to another man. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. You see, once again, it didn't fit into this man's life to do immediately as God asked him to. He says, well, Lord, I'll follow you, but first. Lord, I'll follow you, but. Lord, I'll let this be in my life, but first, let me go do something I need to do. Let me go do something I want to do. Let me go take care of my flesh. Plainly, we see in all three of these circumstances, we see different men at different times. The Lord commands him to do something, but to follow him in different ways. And all three of these men have a reason why that is having a hard time fitting into their life at that current time. We plainly see the calling of God and the blessings that God wanted to have on their life, but for some reason it just wouldn't fit. Think about that. I'll be very simple tonight and very easy. I thought about preaching. Where's Larry? There's Larry. I thought about preaching, Larry. When God called you to preach, did he say, Larry, amongst everything else you've got going on in your life, I want you to fit some preaching in the midst? If he'd have done that and he would have allowed that, then you would have been what would be a part-time preacher. And now to get real plain, that'd be called half-hearted. Is that right? Amen. Amen or oh me? Amen. So to get real plain, that'd be half-hearted, or that'd be half-committed, or that'd be, well, I'll be a preacher at certain times on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights. And I'm afraid a lot of them do that. Shame on them. If that's you, shame on you. But when the Lord called you to preach, he didn't ask you, Larry, I want you to preach the gospel. And if you could, fit preaching around everything else that's in your life. That ain't what Mark, James, the other ministers here, that is not how God called you. What God called you to do is, says, Larry, I want you to surrender to the call to preach. And I don't know how Larry it was with him, and I don't know how it was with these other men, but I know this. When I done that, it was a full surrender. 100%, Lord, I'm not going to allow this in my life. I won't accept this in my life. And Lord, if I'd allowed it, then I'd be putting myself above God. Come on. But I said, Lord, I'll accept this in my life. And Lord, 100%, this is what you want. And the Lord meant business, so I felt like we ought to mean business. So Larry, the Lord didn't say, will you fit some preaching in your life? He said, Lord, Larry, your life's going to become preaching. And everything else in Larry's life, guess what it can do? Fit around it. Fit around it. Not, Larry, would you fit some preaching amongst your golf playing and amongst your hunting and amongst your everything else we can name? He says, Larry, I want you to be a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a job. Do you realize what kind of job that is? Now listen, there's a lot of jobs some of you may have tonight, and you say, well, I've got a pretty highfalutin job. Well, that's well and fine, but hey, listen, did you realize if you're saved by the grace of God, you are a carrier of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Amen. And I want to tell you something, that ought not have to struggle to fit in your life. That ought to be your life. Amen. That ought to be first and foremost. Hey, it ought to be great in your life. It ought to fit. I believe tonight with all my heart, sometimes the church loses its fit for the Lord. And that's simply all I want to ask tonight. Have we lost our fit? Now, I want to show you something tonight that I believe will be a blessing to you. And I'm not trying to confuse nobody, but I just want to show you something. There's some things that's trying to fit into the local church that we accept. You know what one of the easiest fits is? What's normal? Normal fits well. Because normal don't have any issues.
Right.
And when everything's normal and that all fits, we say, well, everything's well and good, and this fits right with our schedule, right with our routine, right with our program. Everything's just fine. So all that fits real well. And you know what that does? It puts people to sleep. It draws people into complacency.
Come on.
And it allows people to quit paying attention. It hinders the freshness of the Word of God. It hinders the freshness of service. It hinders the freshness of your pastor. It hinders the freshness of the choir. It hinders the freshness of what God is trying to do. Hey, listen, I like leftovers, but not every day. So the Bible talks about manna. Amen. So we can get it every morning as we have need. Every day, God can be fresh.
Right.
You know, I asked my wife coming up the road, and LaVon, she was riding with us. I asked her coming up the road, and I knew the answers to this, but I wanted to see what a woman would have to say about this. And I said, why do y'all think they introduced sometime years ago, why do you think in these department stores they introduced fitting rooms? You know, a place you get, men, you know nothing about that. But a fitting room is a place where you go try on things. Right? Ladies, right? Amen, preacher. That's where we go try on things. So you know what a fitting room is? And so I asked them, I said, why in the world do you think they have that? And one of them said, well, they have fitting rooms, so if they don't like it, they don't have to take it. We'll try it on, but if it ain't what they want, they didn't know they was playing right in my hand.
Wow.
What they said was, if it ain't what they want, they don't have to take it. And one of them might have said, well, you can try it on, and if it costs too much, more than you're willing to pay, you can hang her back up, put her on the shelf. And then I said, well, when you ladies try stuff on, what's one of your favorite things to do? Oh, we take somebody with us and we have to step outside the room and say, well, how does this look on me? Right? That's Chris and Mark. All right. I didn't mean for all that. How does this look on me? Now, ladies, you're all giggling. Let me ask you a question. If your friend said, that is just horrendous. That just does nothing for you, and that just makes you look blah, 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 blah. You know what you're going to say? Well, that's what I thought. That's why you tried it on, wasn't it? So you go hang it back on the shelf. That didn't look good on me, or I didn't look good in that, or it wouldn't look good on me, or I couldn't do good in that, or I couldn't function in that, or I might look funny doing that, so I'll put it back up. I don't want that. That's a fitting room. You know what's happening in a lot of churches today? I believe there's still some churches with some good preaching. I believe there's still some churches with some good singing. I believe there's still churches with the King James Bible. I believe there's still some churches that love the Lord. I believe there's still some people that love the Lord. But you know what's happened? Everything's fit as normal for so long. Things have started not to fit anymore. Now I'm going to give you three or four things tonight that I believe we're having a hard time fitting. And I'll be short, sweet, and to the point. And we'll let the Lord do His business and we'll go about our day. I want to ask Macy if she would come to the piano tonight. And I asked her to do this before service. I told her she was my guinea pig tonight. I was going to pick on her, so it's going to be all right. She's tough. She's brought up by Mark. She can handle it. I mean this tonight. I've done told Macy what I want her to play. And so if you would, just real softly, don't you play that. What's she playing? Amazing Grace. Now, I want to say this about Macy, and I picked her out tonight because she's your pianist. And I want to say this, she does a wonderful job. But I've known her ever since she was, I was trying to think today, either 4 or 6 years old. Little thing. And for a long time, I've known that she could play the piano. I mean, when she was, couldn't even see the keys, she took off, and that was great, and the Lord blessed her. That's the only way somebody can play like that. Lord blesses them. And then years gone by and she grew up and now she's one of the musicians at this church. And church, do you know that you hear her every Sunday? That dawned on you. And I'm using her as an illustration. I'm not trying to build her up. I'll give you an illustration tonight. When's the last time you got on your knees and you thank God for your musicians in your church? And you know why we don't do that? Because normal has fit for so long. Normal has fit for so long. The melody of salvation is not fitting anymore.
Come on, brother.
Here's what I'm telling you tonight, very honestly and very simply. She gets on our piano Sunday after Sunday. We've got one too, just like it. And I wonder sometimes, do we take them for granted? And sometimes we sing Amazing Grace. Well, that's familiar. And so we know what we do. We stand, we take our red back hymnal, and we turn to page, I think it's 57, I believe it is. And so we take off singing. And let me tell you what we have. We have the fit of normal. We have the fit, first of all, that we have a wonderful instrument. And we're thankful for that, or are we? We have the fit, second of all, that we have somebody that's willing. We are feasting from the fruits of her labor. How many of y'all can do that?
Come on, brother.
We are tonight, we have the fit that she's playing Amazing Grace. And that is a very familiar tune, and we acknowledge it's Amazing Grace, but you know what? I can also acknowledge old McDonald had a farm. I hear that and I know what it is. Let me tell you something worse. I when I hear the tune Devil Went Down to Georgia, I know what that is too. Can I get a witness? Is that right? And so all these things are happening. We got a great instrument. We got a great musician. And we got a great melody. We got a great tune. And she's playing and everything's great and everything's wonderful. And all this melody's taking part. And it fits in our church as normal. And us as God-fearing, Bible-believing Baptist church, we love it. And we say, oh, she's a great musician. And we thank God for it. And that's wonderful. And that fits. But what we're missing is the melody of the salvation that she's playing about. We hear her play the song Amazing Grace, and it's so wonderful. But have we ever let our minds and our hearts go beyond the fit of the instrument, go beyond the fit of the musician, and go beyond the fit of the talent that she has? And have we ever fell in love with Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Have we let that fit into our life? We allowed normal not to fit anymore. Lord, I don't want normal to fit. Lord, I want to fit in the melody of your salvation. I don't want to hear, and I just don't want to see the blessings that we physically can see. God, I want to fit right in the melody of your salvation. I listen, when she plays out, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Listen to this part. That saved a wretch like me. Amen. Lord, would you just allow that to fit in my life? You see, it's the excitement of salvation. Sometimes we lose the fit of it. And it just don't fit no more. But you know, it's still there. It still works. And it's still playing. And that's what I believe we've got to get back to. In order for us to get back to having revival, and back to for churches to be churches. If your pastor wanted a big theological message, he knew he called the wrong person. All I got is just plain old Jesus.
Come on, brother.
But you know what, tonight, when we lose the fit of the melody of salvation, what's she really playing? Is she really playing just a song of invitation? Or is she really playing Amazing Grace? Or is she playing your life story? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. If that would fit us tonight, it would bring us to tears. It would bring us to repentance. It would bring us to hallelujah. It'd bring us to thanksgiving. And it'd take us past the baby grand. It'd take us past the musician. It'd take us past her ability. And it would put us right in love with Jesus. And you know what? This church has that every service. And we don't let it fit. You believe that? We got a great musician too. She's sitting right there. Two of them sitting right here tonight. And we're the same shape. Are we not, church? We're the same shape. We hear it every service. The world is not hearing that. The devil is not playing that tune. What a blessing. Just listen tonight. If you're saved by the grace of God, the Lord wants to fit the melody of salvation in your life to where we can be excited. Not about Macy, but be excited about the God that she's playing about and the salvation that you don't deserve. What a blessing. You see, we've lost our fit in some places. Just simple preaching. Next tonight, and Macy, you just keep playing if you don't mind. Brother, would you come to the pulpit?